This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 193. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can call us on
020-88-167-691.
And you can email us on
coach@pitchvision.com.
My name's David Hinchliffe, and this week I'm joined by Mark Garraway and Berners. Well, welcome to the last show of the year, and let me be the first to say Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, lads. Yeah, very good. It's an interesting one. I've just come back from the sun, so it doesn't really feel that Christmassy, but I'm sure I'll get into the spirit in a bit.
Oh, you've got to adapt yourself to the mood after picking up a tan. What was the final report like back from the Middle East?
Well, amazing tour in that they played, the kids played at all of the international grounds that were out in Sharjah, Dubai and Abu Dhabi, which was fantastic. Played against some good players as well, some of which were older, which was part of the experience really, was to try and get them to have some stretch fixtures, I suppose, and see what they've got beyond what we've normally seen. So, we saw plenty of that because we actually won two games out of the 10 that we played. So, it was a good demonstration of having to up your game a little bit, and certain individuals came on a lot and certain individuals found it really tough, and both were valuable experiences.
And Berners, are you touring the world over the Christmas, or are you going to be holed up for a couple of weeks and keeping the world at bay?
World at bay. Go to Devon Heaven, I think. See my cows, right. Graze, eat some bird. And then might well be off on my travels again. I think there's some interesting stuff looming with our permanent installations in Pakistan and also something in Dubai. So no doubt we will be busy with that.
Spreading the gospel of Pitch Vision far and wide in 2013.
Yeah, starting to go underfloor, which is a very nice, easy setup for permanent cricket centres. We've also got one at Bishop's School in Cape Town, so that's going to be fun. So watch this space on some news on those activations.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a bit of a different show this week. It's a bit of an end of term feel. We've all brought in games, and we're all having a little bit of a rest from the full on advice, because I've managed to gather together some tips from some famous and not so famous people to provide their advice for what you should be thinking about in 2013. And some of it is going to resonate with you, and some of it is going to be less so, because everyone is different. But I think the important thing is we need to get that advice out there and help people to start thinking about what's going to be happening in 2013. Because although we shouldn't really use the calendar to motivate us to do things, it is a time of year where you think about new starts, isn't it, Gareth?
It certainly is. And good to see England have started their new start a little bit earlier than January the 1st, and got their historic win in India, and it'll be interesting to see how India come back.
Yeah, exactly. And I think although there's a lot of talk about Dhoni and Fletcher and the way that the way that things went in that tour, I think those are two guys who know how to pull themselves out of a difficult situation like that, and they need to work together to get India back on the upward mark again, don't they?
They certainly do, but I think that the 2020s and the one day fixtures coming up will be the perfect formats for them to do that, to be honest. And I think the key question, as we discussed at length the last few weeks, is what the composition of our next test side is going to be, because they obviously changed things around in that last test, but certainly amongst some of the batters there's some questions that need to be asked.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that you imagine India being a place where Indian batsmen flourish against spin bowling, and that is not what happened at all. Even if you take the Stephen Finn factor out of the equation, which we had to when he picked up an injury, the Indian batsmen did not play spin as well as you would expect them to play spin in India.
All of the pre-series chat almost went 360.
Yeah, I mean, it did. And we all know that England have been working very hard on how to play the sport. out there, and I sort of wrote about it in one of the articles the other week, in how to play like Dravid, and interestingly, without Dravid, against good spinners, India were found wanting, and he was always the guy who played not just spin, but also the pace bowler was better than anybody else, and despite, you know, Sachin being an absolute legend, which he obviously is, it was always my opinion in the time that we played against him that Dravid was the real gun out of our guys, and if we could get into him, then we could expose the rest of the batting lineup.
Yes, I mean it's a well established strategy, isn't it, to build an innings and a batting unit around the player who is who's got stability and can play against as many different types of bowling as possible. So, you know, when you've got a player like that, then it breeds confidence into the others, doesn't it? And when you lose somebody like that, it just makes things a little bit more shaky, and you start thinking to yourself, well, I better step up to the mark here, and in this series, not enough Indian batsmen have done that, and but English batsmen have done that, and they've done that to fantastic effect. Even if you look at some of the lesser headline players like Mick Compton, who didn't get a massive score, but he gave England good starts. He was part of an excellent opening partnership with Alastair Cook. But let's get started with the tips for the year, and we'll start with the three presenters' advice. Then we'll have our yes-no round as normal, and then we'll head into the tips section for everybody else who there's some names that you'll recognise from being on the show from months gone by in the last year. So, Gareth, let's start with your tip. So, what is your one tip for people to look out for 2013?
My one tip is to take your strength and turn it into a super strength, rather than just go back and look at all the areas of weakness or areas of development that you need to work on. I think too many players and too many coaches actually concentrate on areas that you're never going to get to be particularly strong, and don't actually try and strengthen the areas that are really, really good. And I'll give you two examples of people that have done very well in the last few weeks. Jimmy Anderson has been the standout bowler, seam bowler in the series against India. And a few years ago, right at the beginning of his career, he was asked to try and bowl in a different way and ended up getting injured and ended up not being as effective for a few years. Then he reverted back to his natural style that I first saw in a second team game at Blackpool in 2001. And he's gone from strength to strength and is the best seamer in the world in all conditions. There's no two ways about that. And the second guy is Monty Panesar, who went away and tried to bowl doozers and change his pace and all of those things, but actually has come back as a better Monty now and can contribute significantly to England games. So my big tip is, if you've got a strength, make it a super strength, and don't worry quite so much about the weak areas. If you spend too much time working on your weak areas, then you're never going to make your strengths into super strengths, and you're never going to hit the peaks that you can do in your game.
That's great advice. And the other big strength that Anderson's got as well, of course, is that he very rarely gets injured, and that's something that modern fast bowlers... it's a scourge, isn't it? So the fact that he can stay on the park as often as he does, same as Dale Steyn seems to be able to, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it does. And I think it goes down to both of their fitness and their attitudes toward fitness, but also that they bowl in the styles that they've always grown up. And if you actually take them back to when they first came onto the international scene and put their actions together against what they're doing presently, you wouldn't see a great deal of difference. And I often think that sometimes by tinkering with what is natural, we leave people prone to injury. Obviously, if somebody has got a horrible action where things are going in different directions, you have to take a good look at it. But in terms of keeping things natural, if somebody's done it since day one, then there's no need to change it unless there's a really, really bad reason. And Jimmy and Dale Steyn have bowled in the natural action and look at their results now.
And naturally very effective actions as well. So, Berners, moving on to you. You've got something unique for us for your tip for 2013.
I have. Well, as my cricketing advice and knowledge would be dumbfounded and frowned upon probably for most players, I thought I would recite a few extracts of a poem I once came across as a schoolboy, which is it's actually stuck with me for quite some time throughout my life, and I think it's always topical at this time of the year as we head into pastures new. It's a Max Ehrman poet. He's a lawyer, originates from Indiana. And it goes a little bit like this. Just bear with me. Go placidly amidst the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble it is, real possessions and the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to the virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection, neither be cynical about love. For the face of all ardency and disenchantment is that the perennial is as perennial as the grass. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labours and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its shams, drudgery, and broken dreams, it's still a beautiful world. Be cheerful, strive to be happy.
Well, that is a first. That's the first piece of poetry we've ever had on the podcast. And it's inspiring stuff. So thank you, Berners. It reminds me of a song from the 90s called Sunscreen. Do you remember that one?
I've got
it. It does. Baz Luhrmann.
Baz Luhrmann, yeah, presents Sunscreen. It's
Baz Luhrmann, or this is Max Ehrmann. Maybe they could have a little lunch together one day.
Yeah, exactly. So that's left me speechless with a tear in my eye.
Follow that.
Yeah, with a tear in my eye.
I thought, you know, it just brings things together, motivational, mm-hmm. and also just
good advice.
You know, opened your eyes a little bit.
Well, I've got something a little bit more down to earth, a little bit less inspirational, let's say, but no less practical, and that is that a lot of people talk about these days the mental side of cricket, and one of the things that people say is that it's very important to visualise outcomes and think about success and what success looks like and how you're going to go about doing it. But sometimes people try and stay away from that because they find it a little bit woolly and they don't really think about they don't really think through the things that they want to achieve. But really, it's just a matter of, for me anyway, visualizing success is just a matter of writing down what it is that you want to achieve. It doesn't have to be some lofty goal like, you know, play international cricket. It can be something as simple as make sure you get to every net session in the pre-season training. But I think it's important to turn the stuff that's in your head, that's flying around your head, all the different things that you want to do, to turn that kind of stuff into an area that you can focus on. Because it's like when you think of the color red and you look around the room, suddenly you see everything that's red. But if you think about the things that you want to achieve in cricket and you focus on those areas and you write those things down and you refer to them regularly, then you know that you're going to be more likely to achieve them because you have that focus that you didn't have if you've just got it vaguely buzzing around in your subconscious. So that's a long way round of saying write down that you want what you want to achieve for the next year, and then make sure that you look at it now and again and you're moving towards those goals.
Very good. I like that, mate.
Okay, so let's finish up this section with the yes-no round. And Berners, you've got three questions for us to say just yes or no to. So, Gareth, are you ready to go? Berners, over to you.
First question. It's getting harder to bowl really fast in modern cricket.
Yes.
Yes.
Second question. The term overcoached is overused.
Yes.
Yes.
Third question. Apologising for mistakes is best than waiting for permission.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, this is Ian Pont. Here's my one tip for 2013. when you go to Nets, make sure that you actually practice something. So many people go to Nets just have a hit of the ball or have a bowl and feel the ball out of their hand. But I'd like you to think a little bit deeper than that. I'd like you to go to Nets and practice something very specific. And when you do that, it means that the batting and bowling that you practice have a real purpose to them. So that's my tip for 2013. Make Nets more effective by having a purpose and a reason for going, not just working up a sweat. Wish everybody a very happy Christmas.
Let's head into the archive now. South African international JP Duminy gives us a little bit of advice from his online coaching course.
My advice for how many hours you need to put in a day would be about 2 or 3 hours. That's pretty much how we do it on a professional level. And I think it works for us pretty well. So make sure you put in the hard work and the rewards you'll reap the rewards.
Hey everybody, I'm Nikhil Sharma, coach at patientunion.com from India. Today, and my tip for 2013 is that it's about dropping strike rates, like when you are batting, how to manage your innings, how to make it to the triple figure. So, if like you're playing in ODIs or test, which could test you very much, in that game, you don't know how much, you know, like the pitches are different. In some pitches, the ball will bounce too much, and in some pitches it won't bounce, like in recent test. So to get past that thing, just take a few balls, like 20, 30 or even more if you want, and just understand the pitch, how it is. If it is bouncing, get used to that. If it is not, get used to that thing. So consider all those things in mind, and after that, when you are comfortable with the pitch, take those 30 balls defense and play with low strike rate if you want so. And after that, when you have understood the pitch, just go for attacking shots. But remember, judge every ball on its merit. And happy Christmas, happy New Year.
Hi, my name is Gary Palmer. And my coaching tip for 2013 would be, no matter what we do as coaches on our camps and on our one-to-ones and on our academies, we use all the latest ideas and methods, and we think we're doing everything really, really well, but just never lose sight of what coaching is all about, the end result. That means if you're coaching batters, you want to see an improvement in their technique. You want to see an improvement in their performance. If you're working with teams, you want to see your team win more games, because it's no good thinking you've got a great coaching system in place because it's all organised and you're doing all the latest stuff, but you take your eye off what it's all about. At the end of the day, we need to be winning games and giving players enhanced performances. So if that isn't happening, you need to be honest with yourself and have a look at the structure of what you're doing, the content of what you're doing, and how it's affecting your players. Don't assume because it's new and you've got it all organised that it works. If it's not working, you need to sort of address it and try and change things to make it work. That's my tip for 2013. Coaching is all about making a positive difference, whether it's a one-to-one, two-hour session, or you're working with the squad for a full day. That's what it's all about, results. Happy Christmas.
Hi guys, my name is Menno Gazanam. I'm the author of Spin Bowling Project, that's available on Pitch Vision. And my one tip for 2013 is variations. And I'm not talking about big variations as in a Dusra and a Googly and things like that. I'm talking about subtle variations, talking about the speed we bowl in the air, the slight change in flight, slight change in angles, using the crease a little bit, bowling wide, a little bit around the wicket, very slight variations. These things are becoming important, more so than a decade or two back, as with the bigger bats and smaller boundaries and flatter pitches, batsmen got on top a few years ago, and in 2020, always looking to go after you. Our spinners need to strike back, and the way to do it is not try and spin the ball more on a pitch that doesn't spin. It's trying to beat the batsman in the air, and we beat the batsman in the air by subtle reactions. So that's my one tip for 2013 for spinners, is just focus on slightly changing your speed and angles and the very small variations that the batsman can't pick up. That's it. So enjoy your holidays, and we'll look at the second part of the Southern Hemisphere season starting in January.
International batsman Kevin Peterson, welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. I think it's quite nice opening the batting in one day cricket, because you've got 15 overs of power play, so you've only got a certain amount of fielders out. You can play your natural way, be watchful to start, and then you can start building on it. Forward to take a few more risks because there's less fielders in the outfield.
Okay, hello, my name is Surendra Kumar. I'm sports director from Poddar Sports Academy, Mumbai. And I would suggest that every parent should give one game to your child, and I think cricket is the best game. We have very pleasant and very healthy environment for young cricketers, and we have a passion to coach them. And we care them, and we have good technologies as well as good people to coach. So definitely I would suggest that we want players with proper discipline, which can help them for longer term. Thank you very much.
And finally, here's some advice from Indian international Akash Chopra.
All of us think that once you reach a milestone, you've become happy. You feel satisfied, you think you've achieved something, and that's the happiest moment. The day I played for India perhaps was the happiest moment, or so I thought at that point of time. The moment I scored that century and I raised my bat, I think, oh, that's the best possible moment. Fantastic, can't get better. But it's not that. Trust me, that moment is only for a few seconds. It's you don't even realize, you don't comprehend. And in hindsight, you may enjoy that, yeah, I scored a century, it was so nice, it was covered in the papers and everything else, I got the adulation. But that one run that takes you from 99 to 100 does not taste any different than what you have done for the first 99 runs. I think that is why it's extremely important to enjoy the process all the way through. Because once I reached that century, I still remember that game against Maharashtra. I reached that century. This was last year's Ranji Trophy, 2010-11, Rajasthan's Ranji Trophy winning campaign. Scored the century. Brilliant semi-final game. Crunch situation. Team in a very tight situation. And the moment I scored the century, for about 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, I was very happy. And then immediately, I moved on to the next target. That, okay, now I must consolidate. I must take the team further. So the next target was to take the team further. It took me individually to 150, and then there was 200 in sight. So then that 100, the pleasure that it gave me actually ceased to exist, because the next target was looming large. So now you start thinking about that double century. I reached that double century thinking, oh, brilliant, a double century in a crucial game. Another 10 minutes maybe this time, give another 5 minutes more, because double century is more precious than a century. But then you move on again, because the job was half done. The team was still not out of it, or we hadn't won the match yet. And then I started playing again because the team needed me to be. So again, that moment didn't last for more than about 5-10 minutes at the most. And before I knew, I was nearing a triple century mark. So now triple century, that's brilliant. I've never done it in my life. No triple century in my first class, 14 years of first class career. What happens next? I start playing for that, or I start focusing on that. And on reaching that three-figure mark or triple century mark, again, I tell you, honestly, it does not really justify that 14 hours spent on the crease. It does not feel that satisfying, because that one run that you score from 299 to 300, that's what I did. I felt elated. At that time, it was complete elation. It lasted for about maybe 15 minutes this time. Give another 5 minutes more. But eventually, you realize that once the 14 hours that I spent on the crease was far more important than those 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I think it's a simple calculation that about 15, 10, 25, another 5, half an hour of elation cannot match up to 14 hours of hard work. And the pleasure that it gave me, every ball that I left outside off stump, which was like inches outside off stump, every time I played a perfect cover drive, went off the middle of the bat, every time I went down the track, hit the spinner off, over the covers region or over his head. I think those little moments are to be enjoyed, and that's why staying in present is important. Once you start enjoying your present, I promise you, future will take care of itself.
Now, if you didn't get some gem from that advice that you've just been listening to there, then you really are listening to the wrong show, because there's something there for everybody, no matter how you're involved in cricket, from coaching all the way through to complete beginners. So pick out the gems from that lot. But that is the end of the show, and in fact that is the end of this series, the 2012 series. It's come to an end, and it's been a fantastic year. We've had Gareth on board, and Gareth, you've been a fantastic addition to the show. So thanks very much for the last year, and the next one is going to be equally as good, if not better.
Well, let's hope so, mate. Thanks very much. Now, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope that the listeners out there have a fantastic Christmas and Happy New Year.
We are still open for business when it comes to answering questions. We'll be answering those in the new year. So we want people to get in touch, because you can have your question answered and win a prize, which is the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. So what would somebody need to do to get in touch with us and have their question answered when we come back in January?
You can give us a call. The number is 0208 8167 691. Or they can drop us an email, and it's coach@pitchvision.com.
Our Twitter will remain open at PV Cricket Coach, and you can, of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes by heading over there and doing a search for Pitch Vision Academy, and click on subscribe, and then when the new show arrives, you'll be able to listen to that when it comes out. So, Berners, have a fantastic Christmas and a new year yourself. You have been as entertaining as always on this year's podcast.
I try to be. I'll be older and fatter when you next speak to me, so don't expect too much.
You're taking on the Santa look.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Ah, Christmas beard. You've just reminded me. I might get that one going, actually.
Yeah, there's still time. Well, thank you, and thank you most importantly to everyone who listens to the show, because there wouldn't be much point in doing it if we just had a three-way conversation and no one ever heard what we were talking about. So thank you very much to everyone who listens to the show. I hope everybody has a great Christmas and New Year, and we will see you in January for the 2013 edition of the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. So Gareth, Berners, until next time, we'll see you in January.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.